After a long break, finally back. The Nikki Football Saturday Special Podcast. Welcome in. Nick Grunewald's Nikki Football here. Thanks for joining me on the pod here on a college football Saturday. College football is back. We're going to talk a little college football, get you ready for the 3:30 opener between Florida and Michigan. Talk a little Florida State, Alabama, some college football playoff, and more. Really want to say thank you for those of you that have been listening. We've been on quite a hiatus, so now we are back and ready to go. I was moving. I was dealing with some other stuff as well. So for those that have been kind of saying, hey, where's the podcast been? That is where it's been. It has been kind of sitting on the cutting room floor as I've been moving from Kissimmee up to Orlando here. I've been helping some family move. I feel like I've moved like three or four households the last couple of weeks. So after, what, a 5 or 6 week break, we were talking magic news the last time that I was on this podcast. So now let's get into some college football. I can't believe it. College football is here. We are ready to go. We have Michigan and Florida this afternoon. We have Florida State, Alabama this evening. I don't know how the other weeks of the college football calendar are going to live up to this first week. I'm sure that they will. But very exciting opening week in college football. So let's get started here. And why don't we get started? Let me just get on record, okay? Let me get on record. Let me give you my final four in all of the college football playoff rankings. Everyone's going to be giving their final four. I've talked to a ton of people. I had Ryan McGee, ESPN college football writer, on the show. We had Heather Dinich on with Scott Inez. We had a ton of good college football conversation this week leading up to this opener. So here's what I'm going to do, all right? I'm going to talk Florida and Michigan. We're going to talk Florida State, Alabama, some other games from the weekend as well. Maybe I'll talk a little USF, a little UCF too, look good in their opener against FIU. But first thing, let me give you my final four, okay? And I'm going to start with Alabama. Easy pick. No doubt it is Alabama in the SEC and then everybody else. In fact, this feels like the least intimidating SEC that we've seen in quite some time, unless some of these other schools figure it out. We just don't know. But going into week one, this looks like the least intimidating SEC that we've seen. Well, kind of like Auburn, maybe. What is Mississippi State going to look like, perhaps? Florida, if they figure out the quarterback position. You know, we could talk about Georgia, perhaps, but nobody in the conversation. What, LSU had Ogeron? We got Darius Geis and kind of everybody else, but nobody else in the conversation of Alabama. It's become an extremely top-heavy conference, dominated by the Crimson Tide and Nick Saban for the last 6 years, and it feels to me as if they are going to make a run through the SEC once again, no questions asked. And really, you blame it all on Nick Saban. You do. I blame it on Saban. He's been so good. He has driven other coaches out of the SEC and into other conferences. Look around, right? Nick Saban is there at Alabama. All of a sudden now, Urban Meyer's up at Ohio State. We could argue whether or not that was Saban. Sure, fine. Mark Richt down in Miami. He's chased coaches into other coordinator positions. Les Miles out at LSU because all they did was compare Les, the new guy at LSU, to their old guy at LSU. In Nick Saban. So he has pushed other coaches out. They are now in other places, and now Nick Saban is dominating the SEC. And you look at some of the other conferences. That's why we had this conversation about some of the strongest conferences in college football. You got Jimbo Fisher before today's matchup with Alabama in past week saying that the ACC is the strongest conference. I don't necessarily disagree with him. When you look at the amount of money that the ACC has put into their football conference, their football schools, and their coaches. All of a sudden, look at the top five paid coaches. Two of them are ACC coaches. Jimbo Fisher and Dabo Sweeney over there at Clemson. That never used to be the case. It used to be the SEC was spending on football and everyone else was far behind. But now, top five college coaches that are paid, two in the Big Ten, two in the ACC, and Nick Saban. Look at that list. It's Nick Saban. It's Jim Harbaugh, it's Urban Meyer, it's Dabo Sweeney, and it's Jimbo Fisher. So when you see other conferences beginning to catch up, this is a big reason why. So I have Alabama number one. They're going to make it. Number two is the team they're going to play today, Florida State. I don't see Florida State slowing down after this matchup. I think actually Florida State wins tonight. I mean, we'll talk about my prediction coming up later, but I think Florida State wins and wins tonight and has a chance to start the season 1-0 and go on quite a run and end up the number one team in the country. And we could talk about Ohio State, and listen, it was a shaky opening for the Buckeyes, but we'll talk about that coming up here. But I think Florida State wins tonight. That offensive line is going to be the biggest question. What the Seminoles can do to protect DeAndre Francois, who was either sacked or hit in ACC high 81 times last year, is a giant question, because that Alabama front line is, from everyone I talk to, people are saying, you see that front line? That looks like an NFL front line. Like, the Cleveland Browns would like to draft half of that front line. But if they can protect DeAndre Francois, Florida State has the playmakers once again to have a big season. Like, I don't think that offense is going to fall off whatsoever going into this season. I'm really excited to see what Cam Akers looks like. We've heard a lot of good things about Cam Akers, a lot of good things about that offense during camp. And Jimbo Fisher talked about the matchup against Alabama. Let me get this cut in here, even though I know we're going to talk Florida State, Alabama coming up here in just a little bit. But And you know, we will get to it later, but I've got Florida State winning. I think that Clemson is the second best team in the ACC, behind them Louisville, all of them in the same conference. But a team to watch out for in the ACC, I'd say, be Miami. Mark Richt is ready to go, ready to play. And the other one is NC State, a team that Heather Dinitz really liked. But those two are the teams I think are going to make it first and foremost. I've got Alabama, I've got Florida State, and then let's get to the Ohio State Buckeyes, who opened up the season with a shaky win over Indiana, but it was still a win. What, you're down 14-13 in the first half, and then you end up winning the game by 20-something. So, I mean, we can't talk about it being too shaky of an opening, but the Ohio State Buckeyes win their first game. I think they end up in that Final Four at the end of the season. So we've got three of the top five head coaches making it into this Final Four. We've got Jimbo Fisher, we've got Nick Saban, we've got Urban Meyer crashing the party as well. Here's Urban after that game against Indiana. He wasn't surprised. He said they expected to be tested by Indiana early.
To say we didn't expect us the first 30 minutes to be a street fight, that's not true. We expected it to be what it was. And if we, you know, play a little better and hit a couple of those deep balls early in the game, where, you know, maybe score a couple of touchdowns. I think we had only two field goals. And then if our corners play a little better, but we expected it to be a tough game.
Yeah, GT Barrett throws for four touchdowns, 300 yards. I don't understand why we over-criticize a lot of these kids in their opening games. Now, there are some things to criticize, but don't forget, college football players don't have a preseason. Like, the professional guys, they have four games of preseason, really three for the starters, but they have four preseason games. They have an entire training camp. JT Barrett and Ohio State, they have training camp, basically. They have their spring practices, they have their summer workouts, they have their fall camp, and then they start week one at Indiana, biggest game of the season for the Hoosiers. You're on the road to open up the year. No surprise to me that Ohio State opens up with a little bit of a sputter, but they got that offense humming and rolling in that second half and got it going. Heck, look at my USF Bulls. And I know, listen, this is apples to oranges in terms of a comparison, but I love my USF Bulls this year. They're ranked 19th to start the season. They open against San Jose State on the road, West Coast, in a stadium that's got like nine people in it. No energy in that place whatsoever. All of a sudden, San Jose State's up 16-0, but the Bulls end up scoring 30-plus consecutive points, kind of like how Ohio State did. And just like that, you're off and rolling. You win the game. I think that we are a little bit too critical of these kids, of these programs, when they open up in a game like this. Ohio State's going to be just fine. I'm not worried about Ohio State. Urban Meyer was not happy about how they opened, though.
A little bit, I was going to say pissed, but I try to stay clean here. Yeah, pissed, and they understand they didn't play very well. But I didn't see any panic. I thought the offense coaches did a nice job in their conversations, and the same with the defense. They played much better in the third quarter.
Yeah, not a ton of panic from them. They handled Indiana. What is that? Ohio State's new offensive coordinator, Wilson. He used to be the head coach at Indiana. So maybe some nerves as well is there from those players. They want to get a win for their offensive coordinator. But JT Barrett looked good. He's going to be in the Heisman race all year long. And at the end of the season, Ohio State's going to be in that Final Four. Now, final team. This is the big question, and I think that a lot of people are going to have a lot of different teams. I feel like the consensus is going to be those three teams. Alabama, Florida State. Now, you could maybe have a Clemson, a Louisville in there, depending on who you like in the ACC. But insert ACC team here, I guess. Maybe. Maybe a Pac-12 team gets in. We'll talk about that. But Ohio State's in. Those three teams. Those three teams. Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State. I'm not out on a limb here. Fourth team. I've heard a lot of USC. Sam Darnold. Everyone loves Sam Darnold. Everyone loves USC. I totally get it, the way they finished last year, the way they won that Rose Bowl game. After Sam Darnold took over the reins at quarterback, things really seemed to turn around there at Southern Cal. I don't have USC in my Final Four. What about Penn State? Everyone's telling me Penn State is back. Saquon Barkley. Look at the running back. He's got oak trees, his legs. Just, he's ready to carry the Penn State Nittany Lions on his shoulders, and James Franklin has Penn State back. Let me see another season before I'm ready to give a whole ton of preseason love and pomp and circumstance to Penn State. I'm just not quite there yet. I don't have Penn State in my Final Four. You know who I really like? I like a team that even Heather Dinich brought up to us this week on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez, and that would be the Oklahoma State Cowboys. OSU, baby. I think we're going to have Ohio State University, and I think we're going to have Oklahoma State as well. Mike Gundy is going to crash the party this year. One of the best offenses in the nation. I think the mullet is going to crash the party. They're going to come in and have a big-time season. Now, can they stop anybody? That's really the question. Right, like that's going to be the huge question for Oklahoma State, for Mike Gundy, and for this college football season, is whether or not they can stop anyone in the Big 12, because nobody plays any defense in that conference. But Oklahoma State is going to be in the conversation all season long, and Oklahoma State is ranked 10th to open up in the preseason AP poll. It's its best preseason ranking since 2011. They were number 9 then. Don't forget, back in 2011, Oklahoma State went 12-1 that year, won the Big 12, finished number 3 in the AP poll. They've won 10 games in consecutive seasons for the third time in school history. Mike Gundy's got this thing humming and rolling, and it's all about the quarterback, Mason Rudolph, who ranks 2nd nationally last season in touchdown-interception ratio. Rudolph enters the year needing just 547 passing yards to become the school's all-time leader in passing yards, which isn't saying a whole lot because he's going to pass Brandon Wheaton, who had a great season, but this is Mike Gundy's air raid offense. Like, this is what Gundy does, and I think that this team, they can outscore anybody in the country. They can, but can they stop anybody? We're going to have to see whether or not that defense has been able to figure it out this year, but I think a fourth team. I'd put them there over Washington. I'd put them there over USC. I'd put them there over a couple of the other dark horses as well. And we're going to get to the two dark horses from Heather Dinich that she gave us earlier this week on ESPN Afternoon, Scott Inez. But I like Oklahoma State. And this is a team that Dinich had in her Final Four. She is plugged into this. This is a team that Ryan McGee of ESPN, I believe, talked to me about earlier this week, too. Oklahoma State has a chance to win the Big 12, and I don't think the Big 12 is going to get left out on the outside looking in for another season, missing out on the playoff. Now, a couple of dark horses, because I always find this fun before the start of every year, those dark horse teams that may crash the party that no one's talking about. ESPN college football writer Heather Dinich joined Scott Inez this week on ESPN Afternoon. Scott Inez, you can catch it 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 580 weekdays, and Heather Dinich gave her college football dark horses.
Well, I'm not going to say Notre Dame again, okay?
Please
lessons
don't.
Learned.
Yeah.
Fool me once.
Right,
all right.
Right.
So I'm going to go, I'll either go Stanford, because I think that they've got a really good shot to surprise some people. But here's a real dark horse long shot for you. I'm going to go with NC State.
Mm.
And, yeah, if you look back at NC State last year, they lost in overtime at Clemson. I want to say 4 points they lost to Florida State. If they can get over that hump and play in the ACC championship game, I mean, I don't know how the selection committee leaves them out. Their defensive line is so good. But if they can beat those two teams, they're in.
That's Heather Dinich earlier this week on ESPN Afternoons. It's Scott Inez. And by the way, Stanford is one of the five teams in the FBS that's favored in all 12 of its regular season games. Alabama, Ohio State, Wisconsin, my USF Bulls, who are going 12-0 this year, and Stanford. So if the Cardinal take care of all of their games, they're going to be in the conversation. I love Stanford as a dark horse. Like, someone brought up Stanford to me before Heather Dinich even mentioned her. I went into the studio and talked to Scott Inez about it before Heather Dinich mentioned it. I said, wow, I mean, Stanford has a team out of the Pac-12. I really like it because everyone is expecting USC to win that conference this year. And if Stanford comes out and beats USC, wins that conference, expectations in life for everything. I feel like I say that every time that I'm on the air, every time that I do something like this. But Stanford, that they'd be right in there. So I think the Cardinal are a great team. NC State is another sexy ACC team. I don't see it happening. It's another team. I saw Cole Kulebic of the SEC Network throw them out there too. They're on my radar, but I've got three teams in the ACC ahead of them. Now, listen, I mean, NC State's in the other conference. They're in the Coastal. So that's one thing, is they don't have to necessarily go through a Clemson, a Florida State, or a Louisville. They got to beat Miami, but I think Miami is the team to beat there in the Coastal. So those are my Final Four. That's what I've got. That was kind of my long-winded way of giving you a Final Four and a couple of dark horses, that being Stanford and NC State. But I like Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, and Oklahoma State this year to make it to the Final Four in the college football playoff, and it's going to be a ton of fun if the mullet can make it to the Final Four. Let him crash the party. I'm really looking forward to that. Let's talk about some of the games this weekend. It's going to be a ton of fun. This opening weekend, I feel like, is one. I've been talking about this since what? February, March? Maybe early April, that since the schedule came out, we looked at this opening weekend. Huge opening weekend. It's like Mike Francesa's going to be huge. In college football, we have Alabama, Florida State, number one against number three. Since the AP preseason poll debuted in 1950, this marks the first time the AP's preseason number one team has ever opened up against a top three opponent. And of course, you've got the Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban storyline. Jimbo Fisher was LSU's offensive coordinator on Nick Saban from 2000 to 2004. And Jimbo looking to knock off his former boss. The only problem is Nick Saban. And I saw this note on, what was that, ESPN, the SEC Network, or ESPNU yesterday. I was watching that FAU-Lane Kiffin game. Maybe I'll give you a couple of notes on that. But Nick Saban, 10-0. He is 10-0 all-time against his former assistant coaches with 10 wins, all of them coming by at least 14 points. Those are all the Saban assistants that have gone to SEC schools that Saban's beaten the hell out of, like Kirby Smart. But that's something to keep an eye on, is that game is a huge game Saturday night. And let's talk a little bit about that matchup. Then we'll get to Florida-Michigan, which I think has more interesting storylines. Alabama-Florida State has more juice, 1-3, college football playoff, can't wait. But this game, that Michigan-Florida game, has a ton of more storylines. Let's get to what Jimbo Fisher said earlier this week. He talked about how his team, and this is Jimbo Fisher style, man, about how they just have to focus on themselves.
We had a great game, got a great challenge. We know we got a great opponent, got to go play well, and that's what it's about. It's not about them, that's about us and how we play. And that's all we can, because that's what we can control. Just got to go play the right game and be mentally sharp in all three phases and pay attention to detail and master the basics. That's what it's going to get down to. Mastering the basics, be able to block, tackle, cover, catch, do the things you got to do, throw, make reads, and do what we have to do.
And Jimbo's focused on that offense. This is kind of the immovable, this is kind of the immovable force against, or whatever you want to call it, man. This is one of the best offenses in the country against one of the best defenses in the country. And that is what this is going to be. Jimbo Fisher's offense is always prepared, always ready to go. And Nick Saban's defense is always a staunch unit to go up against. And listen, like, something's going to have to give on Saturday. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, both unbeaten in season openers at their respective schools. So for the loser, it's going to be about bouncing back and trying to win a national title after losing your season opener, which has happened before. I'll give you that note here in just a minute. But that really is the thing for Jimbo Fisher, is we got to focus on ourselves, not try to beat Alabama in any other way than what is who we are. That's That's what makes beating Alabama so hard, is usually Nick Saban finds what you do well and takes it away from you. We talk about this with the hoodie all of the time in the NFL. That is what the New England Patriots do. But normally, you have to go outside of your identity to beat Alabama. When you go outside of your identity, you're not playing who you are. It's kind of an inception thing, right? Like, I mean, if you are who you are, if you're a good team and you play your identity, you win. But Nick Saban takes that away from you. You have to go outside of your identity, but normally teams not as good when they do that. So can Jimbo Fisher figure out a way to score some points against this Alabama defense? Can this offensive line protect DeAndre Francois? As I said earlier in the podcast, an ACC high, sacked and hit 81 times last year. And it's going to be a very fun game to watch on Saturday night. Jimbo Fisher, I really like this note from Jimbo. Talked about taking his team. They're going to play this in the new Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta. Looks like a spaceship. I don't know if you've seen it. And I'm looking forward to watching the game tonight just because you're going to get to see this brand new thing the Falcons are going to play in. But Jimbo talked about taking his team to the Mercedes-Benz Dome, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, excuse me. I keep calling it the Dome because it's like the Superdome there in New Orleans. But talked about taking his team to do a walkthrough at the stadium.
We're going to go over because the new stadium, it's different. And I want our guys, we're not going to do a walkthrough. We're going to make this catch punts and kicks. Let our guys get used to it, just used to the lighting. Because sometimes you go indoors, different places have lighting issues. You know what I mean? That's the main thing I'm going. I'm never a guy who goes to any other team's stadium. But we did it in Dallas, too. We did it when we went over to Jerry's World, because that's just a different, with all that lighting and how that was a different background. We went in there and spent an hour, 45 minutes or so, and just caught punts. You know, threw a deep ball, just throw it up, just get the guys' eyes used to where the light and all that type stuff is. And let them see in the new stadium and all, get past all that stuff and see them play.
Yeah, I love that note from Jimbo Fisher. Just, we're going to take them over to the new stadium. We haven't played there before. Our guys haven't seen a ball in the air there before. And we're going to make sure that the first time they see that is not in a game, perhaps the biggest game of the year against Alabama, definitely the biggest game of the year to start the season against Alabama, because the smallest mistake against a Nick Saban-coached Alabama team could cost you the game. It is that attention to detail that makes Jimbo Fisher one of the best coaches in college football, and I thought that was just a great note for him to throw in the other day about him taking his team out to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium and having them get ready to return kicks, return punts, catch a couple of passes, just some small things. I love that from the FSU head coach, Jimbo Fisher. Now, Nick Saban talked about the offense of Florida State, and of course, Saban's defense is going to have to figure out a way to stop DeAndre Francois and Cam Akers and all of those playmakers on that team. You might see some Derwin James on offense, too, some trickeration from Nick Saban or from Jimbo Fisher as well. Here is Nick Saban talking about Jimbo Fisher's offense this week.
I think it's a very well-conceived pro-style offense. I think he's very good at making changes relative to his personnel. There are similarities to some of the things he did back even at LSU, but it's sound. It's good. It's well-executed. It's well-taught. And it works.
It is, and it's well prepared, and Nick Saban knows that, and it's going to be just, it is the one of the best well-designed offenses in college football against one of the best well-designed defenses in college football. It should be a very, very fun matchup coming up tonight in Atlanta between Alabama and Florida State. One more note from Nick Saban here. He talked about just playing a program like Florida State to start the season. It's a good way to kick off your year.
You know, some guys will have a bigger role than others, obviously, but a lot of those guys have earned their way to be where they are. And it's, I don't know how they'll respond. You know, it takes a lot of maturity, I think, to be able to respond in these kind of situations. And when you have young players, it's always interesting to see how they respond, but however they do, these guys are good players that can help us. We need to help them grow and improve. This will give us a good idea of where they are, and then we'll know what we got to do to try to get them where they need to be.
And what I really love about the college football playoff is it's giving you more games like this, more big-time openers to start up a season. Listen, Florida State's opening its season with a neutral site game for the third time in the last four seasons. They beat Oklahoma State in 2014, played Ole Miss here in Orlando on Labor Day last season, and now they take on Alabama in Atlanta to open up this season. These big-time games, They're great for college football. They're great for fans. They're great for guys like me that love to talk college football. I cannot wait for tonight's game. And I think Florida State wins. It's Alabama. They're given 7. So they're saying this game was played in Tuscaloosa. Then Alabama's a 10-point favorite. And that might very well be the case. But I think Florida State wins tonight. Cam Akers is a big-time pickup. I know I keep mentioning Cam Akers, but for some reason I think he's going to have a big game, and I might be totally wrong. DeAndre Francois has a season under his belt of starting. He's got that experience. I love him going into this game as well, and it's not like I don't love Jalen Hurts, but having Derwin James back is going to be such a big lift for this Florida State defense as well, but we'll have to see tonight. Let's switch gears. Let's move on and I'm sorry, I wanted to give you that last note about teams who lose their first game, because the loser of this game is going to try to have to buck history, or at least repeat history in one case, and that would be winning the national title after losing their season opener. The only team to do it, if I'm looking at this note correctly, yes, the most recent team to do it, 1983, the University of Miami did it. They lost their opener to Florida. They won the national title they won the national title that year. So Miami was the last team to do it in 1983. So the loser of this game, Florida or Alabama, will look to do it for the first time since 1983, win that national championship after losing the first game of the season. All right, on to Florida and Michigan. This is the afternoon game, but as I said earlier, this game's juicy, man. This is more interesting. There are more storylines in this game than Florida State-Alabama, perhaps. And mainly, it's just been the two coaches that have done it. It's been Jim Harbaugh and Jim McElwain. Who's starting at quarterback? Are you going to release your depth chart? Are you going to release your roster? Those guys adding a ton of great conversation for all of us heading into Saturday. And at times, like I think that it's on purpose at times. But the biggest discussion about this game is going to be heading in about the two quarterbacks. Is it going to be Wilton Spade? It is going to be Felipe Franks for the University of Florida. But the other thing is, the University of Florida has 10 players, 10 Gators suspended for this game, including their top returning wide receiver in Antonio Callaway. And by the way, Mel Kiper Jr. has Antonio Callaway, one of the top 5 underclassmen wide receivers in the country when it comes to NFL prospects. So that's what Florida is going to be missing on Saturday, today, against the University of Michigan. They're going to be missing an NFL caliber prospect and wide receiver to help out their freshman quarterback, their redshirt freshman quarterback, and also their top returning running back. Jordan Scarlett's not going to be there either. But 10 suspended players for the Gators. Scott Inez caught up with Heather Dinich, ESPN college football writer. She talked about those 10 suspending players. It's a bad look for the University of Florida heading into a marquee game to open up the season.
10 suspended, and half of them have been in trouble before.
Yeah.
I get what Jim McElwain said, and he's not running away or trying to hide anything. I heard his comments about that, but I don't understand why Florida's getting so much love nationally right now. I don't get it, because you've got off-field issues going on. He named a quarterback, congratulations, but here's the thing. Florida has so much to prove offensively. We are talking about last year, and this says a lot about the SEC East. Last year, Florida's offense, in scoring offense nationally, was like 109th or something, and in total yards, worst in the SEC. The East. Yeah. What does that say about the rest of the division? So now you have these off-field issues coupled with the fact that, look, you've got a rookie quarterback who still has something to prove. And to me, it's just like the best thing they have going for them right now is the fact that Michigan's 5 starters is the fewest in the FBS.
Yeah, we'll talk about that rookie.
Scott Inez kind of jumped in on the podcast there. Scotty, get out of my podcast. But Heather Dinich had a great note there about the Gators' offense, and you look at the numbers. The Gators, can they move the ball effectively against Michigan? Florida ranked 116th out of 128 FBS teams in total offense last year, 84th in offensive efficiency. So they are going to have a tough time. And once again, redshirt freshman quarterback, top wide receiver, top running back, not returning. You've got an offensive line that has struggled over the first 2 seasons in Jim McElwain's tenure. Now they've got some guys on that front line that I really do like. Some good area guys too. If you're going to watch the game, watch the left side of that line. Martez Ivy, another NFL prospect noted by Mel Kiper Jr., one of the underclassmen noted. But also on the right side of that line, Stone Forsythe, son of Ray Forsythe, friend of the program on Live Local and Loud. He's the backup right tackle. So keep an eye for those guys. Stone played at West Orange. Martez Ivy played at Apopka. On the other side, you got Eddie McDoom, who played at West Orange as well, playing wide receiver for the University of Michigan. But that Gators offense, a ton of questions. Are you going to score a touchdown against a Jim Harbaugh coach defense? And I know Harbaugh is a quarterback. Harbaugh is an offensive guy. But look at all the defenses that Jim Harbaugh has. They have an identity. They're hard-nosed. They're going to hit you. They're aggressive. They're stingy. Jim Harbaugh's defenses are always ready to go, but they are returning just 5 starters on that team. If you're going to play a team in Michigan at this time of the year, this is the time to do it if you have an offense that is struggling, because perhaps this defense is trying to replace some guys just like Jabril Peppers, who we saw pick off Jameis Winston in the preseason this year. But that offense is a big, big question heading into this matchup. Now, Michigan, they're replacing, not 5 guys, but 10 starters on defense. They're returning 1 starter on that side of the ball. Excuse me, I said 5. It is 1. So we'll see kind of how that looks going into this game as well. But call it a gut feeling. That's all I can call it. It's just call it a gut feeling. Call it a, you know, maybe a bit of a homer feel, because I'm hoping that the University of Florida does win this game. The line on the game, Michigan -3.5. If I get Florida in the points there, I'll take it. Because if Florida's going to win, it's going to be a close game anyway. And I think the Gators are going to win this game. Now, if Michigan wins, it could very well be a blowout. Like Florida, once again, looks like they cannot move the football. They don't look like a competent college football offense. And they struggle once again. But I don't think that's what's going to happen here. I think that they're going to be able to move the ball. I think you're going to see a lot of Malik Zaire, right? Felipe Franks is going to get the start. That blew my socks off. It really did. That Felipe Franks is going to start week one. I mean, Malik Zaire, he transferred from Notre Dame, and I know maybe he just wanted to get away from Brian Kelly. But you got Malik Zaire there, you've got Luke Del Rio, and you've got the young kid Felipe Franks. I got to give Felipe Franks a ton of credit. Because Felipe Franks came in and he beat out 2 guys with more experience than him for the starting job. And I would feel like a guy like Jim McElwain would want to give the edge to a Malik Zaire just because he transferred. So I'm proud of Felipe Franks and what he was able to do. That being said, I think you're going to see a lot of Malik Zaire. Now, Ali Peek, our Gator insider on Live Local and Loud, said you'll see Luke Del Rio. That would surprise me. Ali Peek has been right, and I've been wrong before. But Luke Del Rio, I don't expect to see him. I don't. I'll be very interested in how the quarterback job is kind of put together. I think that Jim McElwain is taking a huge risk in losing his young QB and losing him altogether in terms of his confidence. He must have a ton of confidence, Jim McElwain, in Felipe Franks' mental fortitude, because if Franks is bad in the first couple of drives, Malik Zaire's getting into this game. Jim McElwain wants to win this game. He's not going to leave Malik Zaire on the bench long. If Felipe Franks is bad, you're going to pull him, and then you've pulled your freshman. Right? This is why Blake Bortles is starting week one for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because once you go away from him, it's over. And it's all mental there at that point. So I get the feeling that it's going to be a short leash for Felipe Franks, but Jim McElwain is taking a big, big risk by doing just that, by going with the young freshman, by risking losing him mentally moving forward. And maybe I'm overrating that, but it is going to be a very interesting storyline headed into that game. We still do not know who's going to start at quarterback for the University of Michigan, at least at start of taping this podcast. Now, I did not check coming in this morning to ESPN 580, but I have not seen who's going to start. No, they have not named it yet. They haven't. Now, that's going to be interesting. It is. The Wolverines, by the way, 3-0 against the Gators going into this Saturday's matchup, including that beatdown at the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl in 2016, 41-7 right here in Orlando. So Florida looking to turn that around here as well. But I like Florida. I have to say I do. I really like Florida. I think that the Gators have a very good chance to win this game, and if they do, it's going to be about Felipe Franks coming into his own, that offense scratching out some points, but more than anything, that defense, who they lost some guys. They did. That Florida defense, how many guys they lose? I think five or six to the NFL this past season. But if that defense, it's going to have to be, once again, a strength for the Gators, something we're not used to outside of the last couple of seasons, that a Florida team is predicated more on defense than on offense. Used to be offensive you, but not anymore. We will have to see. By the way, first time since 1992, Florida opening the season against a team currently in a Power 5 conference. Also the first time Florida opens a season outside of the Sunshine State since 1979. How do you like that? The Florida Gators leaving the Sunshine State to play Michigan in 1979. They traveled to Houston. Not a good year that year for the Gators. They finished 0-10-1 that year. So there is a nugget for you. If you're standing around the water cooler or you are hanging out at a watch party today, Gators are 0-10-1 that season, the last time that they opened the season outside of the state of Florida, 1979. It is going to be a ton of fun coming into this game Saturday afternoon. Give me the Seminoles. Give me the Gators. You want to call me a homer? That's perfectly fine. Cannot wait for this college football season. And listen, I think that I'm going to round out the pod. Listen, I've gone long here. Like, the other ones have all been 20-something minutes. I'm into the 30-minute mark here or so, and I've only got about 6 or 7 minutes left here. But let me talk quickly just about UCF, because they opened up their season. I'll talk a little bit about my USF Bulls, too. They opened up their season Thursday night. Mackenzie Milton was outstanding. They beat FIU 61-17. And I know it's just FIU, but when you put up 61 points, that is something to write home about. Milton passed for 360 yards, 4 touchdowns, 16 of 21, started 8 of 8, and had touchdown. The big play was the thing for UCF on Saturday night. Touchdown, 50 yards. He had a 3-yard pass as well to Traquan Smith, a 13-yard pass to Gabriel Davis. They had a bunch of chunk plays in that game. I loved seeing that out of UCF. I love what Scott Frost is doing here in Orlando. And this is a team, they play offensively like this, they're going to make some noise in the American. They got a big game against Memphis next week. Scott Frost talked about the play of Mackenzie Milton.
Mackenzie had a really good day, but a lot of guys on the team had a good day. I give a lot of credit to the O-line for protecting for him. He wasn't under much duress back there, and when he was, he had easy lanes to escape. But really, from Mackenzie, there was a lot of people questioning things with him, and people always critical of coaches and quarterbacks. And I admire the kid for getting through what he got through last year. What you saw on the field today is what we've been seeing in practice for almost 2 years.
And UCF is going to hope to see more of that outstanding start for UCF and Mackenzie Milton. And that defense anchored by Shaquem Griffin look good as well. 17 points you hold FIU to at home Thursday night to open things up. Now they just got to figure out how to get more fans there in the stadium at Spectrum Stadium. Quickly, my USF Bulls. By the way, I mentioned USF is one of the only teams in college football this year favored to win all 12 of their games this season. I gave you that list of teams earlier. I think my USF Bulls, who started 1-0 last week, they beat San Jose State. They take on Stony Brook. Listen, they have a soft schedule this year, but they're going to go 12-0. My USF Bulls, they're going to go 12-0. One of five FBS teams. I'll give you the note again. Alabama, Ohio State, Stanford, Wisconsin, and USF that are favored to win all 12 of their games this year. And though it is a soft schedule, the Bulls are going to win every single game this year. And Quentin Flowers is going to be in the Heisman Trophy discussion. Will he be invited to New York? I hope so. I said that on the air this week. A little hyperbole there. But Quentin Flowers, who was the AAC Offensive Player of the Year last year, threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for another in that win against San Jose State. Was his 12th career game with at least 2 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. He is going to be electric this year. Maybe a little bit of Lamar Jackson light in the numbers he puts up because of that soft schedule. But my USF Bulls, who have scored at least 30 points in 18 straight games dating back to 2015, with now a new, and that might not happen every game this year because they've got Charlie Strong there, more of a defensive guy than an offensive guy. Willie Taggart is now in Oregon. But that 18 straight games, second longest active streak in the country. The second longest active streak. That is the longest streak in the country. But the second active is actually Western Kentucky at 12. But I like this team this year. I think they beat every team. They end up 12-0. They're playing in a New Year's Six bowl game as well. And listen, they're not going to make it into the Final Four because of that schedule. You've got to have a better team than I think the best team they play out of conference is Illinois. You got to have a better schedule than that. But USF is going to be a ton of fun to watch this year as well. That is going to do it for me. I'm out of time here. I got to run. We got other stuff to get to, but a big college football Saturday. I am looking forward to it. Be back Monday, ESPN afternoon. It's not Monday, Tuesday. We got Labor Day off. How about that? I'll be back Tuesday, ESPN afternoon. Scott Inez, 4 to 6, live, local, and loud, 6 to 8 as well. And we will recap all of these games. Get you ready. NFL's next week. We'll be back next week as well on the Nikki Football Saturday Special podcast. Thanks for listening.